Blog Talk Radio.
Shane.
Hey, John.
Hey, we are back. Sorry for that glitch.
Oh no, it's
so
fine.
Where were we? We were talking. Recap where we were and let's get back going. Okay.
All right. Well, yeah. So I think where we hung up there was basically saying, you know, how everything that within our technology, everything that man has created, you know, is a reflection of something that we have in nature. You know, this is where we get our ideas from, and this is what we study. And then, of course, what do we do? We try to make a reflection, more or less, you know, of what we see in nature. So then we come forward with our technology. And that's all I was saying is I think that we will have a point in time. I was saying I had a theory that, you know, right now the biggest thing is data, you know, and it's all about data and it's all about storage and how can we store more information and how can we do this and we do that. And, you know, so, you know, I have a theory that, you know, that when we're looking in nature for ideas as far as, you know, for our storage systems for data and for information, we're going to find DNA to be the one, you know, because there's no greater storage system in nature than DNA. And, you know, so naturally this ends us up talking about, you know, digital copies of our universe and so forth. And when you really, and I talk about microcosms and stuff like that, our DNA, I believe our DNA, just the same way that it is, it's at the core of every cell in our body, at a DNA nucleus. I also feel like, you know, that's the structure of our universe. And when you start really paying attention, you start backing up and you look at it, you know, and when you start looking at it, at each, you know, at each small particle, you know, I mean, and then really watching what it's doing and how everything is constantly vibrating and everything is moving. Nothing is actually touching each other. There's always the space in between everything, you know, at every moment. So naturally, I just kind of see it being another, you know, extension or another macrocosm of the universe. But when we talk about, you know, so naturally having digital, digitalized versions, you know, of another world. And, you know, this is what's really going on within all things that we do. This is the nature of creator and creation, you know. You know, let me look at what I have here and let me recreate something else. And you know, this goes down from the smallest levels to the most minute, you know, levels to the, you know, biggest and levels. And, but, you know, so the main thing that, you know, if I'm expressing these opinions and stuff like that, there is a science, you know, it can stand side by side with science, and it can stand side by side with your science fiction and, or, you know, even with, you know, ancient religions and modern religions of our world today. And make no mistake that each one does mirror each other in some way. Each one reflects onto the next. And so to think that we're not connected, you know, this is when I say that naturally if I pick up something, in, you know, if I'm looking at something in nature, you know, let's just say that it's in the plant family. Well, I know that I've got one plant and it is related to another plant. You know, and it's not going to be the exact same plant, but at the core, you know, they have the same, you know, that they have the same things going on with them, you know, and they are related. And I think that everything is related. You know, I think that all of our ideas are related. You know, all the things that we fight about, you know, I mean, and that so much blood has been shed over, that's all related. And, you know, so it doesn't really, my point is that it doesn't matter what your point of view, you know, you're just, you know, we're all on like a separate dial on the radio station, And we talk about multiple dimensions, man. I could go all day with this kind of stuff. But you know, I really want to encourage people to don't be afraid to, you know, use your mind. Play with your mind. You know, play with the universe. It's all malleable. Every bit of it is. You know, whether, you know, you want to experiment with your thought process or with meditation or with delving deeper, you know, and with dream states and experiment with, you know, you could experiment with, you know, astral traveling. I mean, people, there's just so much that goes on with so much. And what you come to find is that when you don't limitate yourself, that you know, the universe is even more beautiful than what it might have been before. You know, don't structure it in and close it off, and really keep an open mind, because, you know, when you do that, there are a lot of illusions. You know, there's always illusions at play. And, you know, of course, at the heart of it, it's like the hall of 1,000 mirrors, you know, and you're trying to find the one that's got the real stuff in it. You know, settle down and relax. You know, free yourself of the illusions. Free yourself of limitations that have been programmed into your mind, you know, because they, you know, and learn to see the world through a new perspective, in which we're always creating ourselves, we're always recreating ourselves, we're always creating our universe through our mind, and we're always mirroring the truth. You know, it's all about reflection, it's all about self-reflection when we're talking about hermetics, and I think when we're talking about everything else. You know, I'm also an artist, I'm also a painter and stuff. I've had this cartoon in my head, you know, for a while. I haven't expressed it on paper, but you know, it's like a man looking down through a microscope from one end, and on the lower end, it's another man looking back up through a telescope. The microscope and the telescope are the same scope. You know, it just depends on it just really depends on your point of view. Exactly. But yeah, so yeah. And but what do you got? What do you think about all this, John? I'd like to hear some of your input.
Well, what I think about this is that we're coming to a new age of understanding, and I think we lost a lot. Well, I'd say let's say from about 1500 until about 1980, I think we lost a lot about how we view the world, how we think of our mental capacity and our powers to actually create things for us as individuals, and in a larger sense for us in, you know, for the entire civilization. And I think it came, and I hate to say this, as part of the discovery of America. And I think we all became focused more on what we could do, how we could conquer, how we could do what we do over here. And I think our entire sense of mental energy and our ability to do things with our brain, I think it really dropped off there starting in and around 1500. Now, when you look at the age of Aquarius that came or has started coming along in very small portions as early as 1860, but it is getting growing larger and larger and larger, I think we're having certainly a change of consciousness. Everyone is, and we're starting to get back to the fundamentals that made us human beings and allowed us to live and not die, which is the ability to use our minds. And hermetics certainly is part of that. So it's a shame that we, you know, we got detracted from the creation of America, and that has caused wars. That's caused a lot of problems. But I think now, the more of us than not are beginning to sense a greater coming back to our mental, to the mental abilities that we had prior to 1500.
So what do you think about that?
You said a lot with that. And, that's so true, and especially, you know, it's like a trauma that, you know, you experienced in your childhood, right? that you might not even remember. You might not remember, but it keeps on bleeding through, you know, and it keeps on trying to reveal itself.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, at some point in time, you know, of course.
Those traumas really do bleed through.
Right, they do. And you know, and us as a society is the same. So when we're talking about, well, the question, what happened? You know, what happened to make us lose all of this? Well, I think it's important to let go of whatever you're holding on to, and let's get to the core of things. If you know, if somebody doesn't like my point of view, well, that's fine. But let's you know, check in history a little bit. And when we look around other cultures in the world, you know, so much knowledge and so much wisdom is still there. We've got the Asian cultures who, you know, who full-heartedly believe in Qi. Now, of course, if you look now, they're going to say that they're all atheists or whatever, but they've actually got more temples than anywhere else in the world, you know. And but so naturally they're spiritual, is my point. But man, we see them do all kind of stuff. Now we've got Hinduism, you know, they believe in prana, you know, it's the life force within. You know, we're talking about what travels through the stem from the roots to make the rose bloom. And it's the same thing that's within nature, it's within us. And when we start to focus on that, you know, we really have some real jewels. But at the burning of Alexandria is when we lost all of our information, John. you know, with the library of Alexandria.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, so a lot of this used to be common knowledge. And when we're looking at Hermetics, man, you know, we're looking at a beautiful time. We're looking at the golden age of society, of civilization, and where people are interested in intellectual thought and poetry and sciences and arts of all kinds, you know, Hermetic arts and all of this stuff. The Hermetic teachings that we know today were actually, you know, for a long time it was believed to actually be the original writings of, you know, Thrice Hermes. But we end up, you know, finding out later on that they regathered this information and constructed it, you know, during the time of Alexandria in the library. Well, of course, when that got burnt down, everything was destroyed. And, you know, when we see that history is repeating itself, it makes me, you know, raise the question, were they trying to change the future? You know, were they afraid that history would repeat itself in a way that they didn't want, you know? And did they want to erase the stories of the old days, you know, to make sure that they didn't, you know, resurface? But it's also, too, about power. You know, it's about power and it's about state of mind. And if they strip away, you know, I say they, you know, sounds so conspiracy, you know, theorists, but honestly, you know, if we're stripped away of our spirituality, of our roots and stuff like that, well then, you know, we're easier to control. And, you know, when we're looking at, man, when we get to looking at, you know, ancient beliefs, spiritual beliefs, religions all across the world, this isn't something new. In fact, that is something that repeated itself. You know, it's always been about a game of slavery and of control. And, you know, so when they strip away all of this knowledge, and, well, of course, we've got other reasons for the burning of Alexandria. But afterwards, we never had book burning. We entered into the Dark Ages. Out of the Golden Ages, directly into the Dark Ages. Some cultures call it the Kali Yuga. And we entered into this period where free thought was not allowed, where you were told what to believe and how to believe, and if you had any other idea, then you would be burned. And, you know, the books were burned. Everything was burned. And these teachings follow all the way up to, you know, our New Testament teachings, you know. And, And when you start to pay attention, you know, and to also see that a lot of the books didn't make it into the New Testament, and a lot of that was destroyed, and a lot of that also goes back with the Hermeticism, with Gnosticism, and stuff like that, then, you know, it really makes you wonder. Now, people are going to say, well, those books are garbage, you know, those didn't belong in there. And what I would say to somebody who says that is that they don't know their history, you know, and if they're willing to put their free thought in the hands of another, well, that's good for them. But, you know, one thing about the United States and about us discovering this land and stuff like that is that we do have the ability to speak freely, and we have free thought and stuff like that. And when you said that about the United States, it's so funny, is because the whole idea of going westward and discovering the United States came to somebody in a dream. It came to somebody in a dream state and said, whoa, there's stuff out west. You know, there's stuff out west. Let's go further. And, you know, I don't, you know, in my mind, you know, we're all connected. Everything is connected. All of the old stories are connected. And if you're talking about ancient aliens, or if you're talking about, you know, digital recreations of the universe, or if you're talking about, you know, ancient teachings of Gnosticism and Hermetics, and biblical, and I'm not pushing aside biblical teachings at all, because I can make the same points using whichever text that you give me. It doesn't matter which text that you give me, I can make the same points, and I can share the same ideas if that's what I truly wanted to do. Was, you know, and I'm being open-minded about this,
Shane, I want to stop you here, and I want to tell you that I believe, just like what you said, that every religion truly says the same thing. It's all written differently. But all of the religions,
yes,
any of the ones that we call standard, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's the Baha'i faith, it doesn't matter. They're all saying the same things. They all have the same teachings. So that should give us at least a little bit of comfort in knowing that what we're trying to listen to is correct, number one.
Yeah, well,
and so I just wanted to say that to kind of compliment what you were saying, so please go ahead.
Oh yeah, man. The truth truly has a certain air of power to it, you know, and it's always going to work its way in there, because at the same time, don't think that the universe isn't conscious as well. It's not making sure that it's placing, you know, the truth in there and little hidden corners and stuff, but also too, when somebody uses, when we're talking about Hermetics and we're talking about that kind of thing as well, and all this occultic knowledge and stuff like that, they want to use it. They've got to use the truth, and they've got to speak it. But so what happens is that they disguise their speech. You know, they'll disguise the message and pollute the message, you know, and make to hide the truth. And But the truth is always needed in order to sustain, you know, the longevity and the power. And this is stuff that's known. And you know, I said, you know, when it comes to our mind and our subconsciousness and stuff like that, like I said, of course everything is connected, and everything is always will be. And it's all, like what you said, it's all about perception. It's all about how you perceive it, or, you know, the structure of it. Now, but at the core, you know, all of it's the same. And, you know, what is a mind but a collection of thoughts and ideas anyways? And what is a collection of experience, you know, what is life but a collection of experiences based off of the decisions that derive from our mind? I think it all starts with ourselves. Our whole life on the outside is a reflection also of what we have within us. And if we don't find our true selves, then we'll always feel lost in this world. it's a lonely path when you truly know yourself sometimes when the rest of the world seems to be asleep. But, you know, you are connected with the universe. And so, you know, it kind of softens that blow. I often joke, you know, sometimes I'll say, you know, other than my children and a few close friends, you know, that the universe might actually be, you know, one of the only true relationships that I have. But that's when I realized that the universe and myself are the same in that sense, because we're all just extensions of each other. We're like trees that are sharing the same roots. And I think that's what our subconsciousness is. I think our subconsciousness can be kind of described as our root. You know, and this is our root that connects us with all other things. And our roots, so if the subconsciousness is our root and our mind is the soil, and that's why I say you really got to either open your mind completely and don't start locking things down in there, or, you know, you really need to guard what you let into your mind, what you let into your ears, what you let into your eyes and stuff like that, because everything that enters into your mind is the seed. And, you know, it might take a month, it might take a year, but that seed will sprout. And when we start to choose what we plant in our garden, you know, it becomes a real beautiful thing, man. And we actually do have, you know, later on in life, we see the, you know, we reap the harvest of that. And you know, we see the blossom that comes out of that. I really enjoy, you know, talking about this kind of stuff, John. I really appreciate you having me on the show to talk about that sort of stuff. But, you know, it's like there's a brain frame at the center of all things, like a main frame, a brain frame, and, you know, it's like this is the universal self. And it doesn't matter, you know, like I've said before, Scientology, hey, you know, I've looked into what them guys believe in. You could throw stones at them, but it's not a whole lot different than what a lot of other cultures believe in. Or it's really just they're picking out certain ideas and certain, you know, principles of other teachings and trying to make a good point of it, you know, or to make good sense of it. But when, you know, and then, hey, we're all here to create. We're all here to recreate. We're all here to express ourselves, to reflect the universe in our own way, and you know, I'm just all for somebody, you know, really digging a little deeper, and like I said, playing with their minds, you know, and going a little deeper, you know, experiencing things like meditation, or to just see. Let's just see what happens when we all gather up, and we know that prayer circles work. You know, people have contested that. What happens when people just gather up and they all really focus their intentions on a better outcome? You know, what happens when we start doing this by the 20s, by the, you know, 25, 50 people, or all the way up to 500 to 1,000 people? You know, this could be, I don't know what the results would be of it. I can't say I would know, but what I do know is it's time that we start trying stuff like this, you know, and really start sitting down and also, too, you know, with the universal order, we see that we've got an order, you know, within the universe. It's in the stars around us. You know, everything operates on a certain system, system of rotation, of time, and creation, recreation, and re-imaging. And, you know, this is where our – John, I know, you know – me and you talked about, this is where language actually come from, the writing in general. When you look back to who started writing, and you look back to the hieroglyphics, when you go back to the Dagon priest, you know, who's coming forth with symbols and saying, you know, we want to use, or the Egyptian priest and stuff who's coming forth with writing, you know, the whole idea of language at this point in time and of writing was as a way that I can really focus my thoughts, you know, because when I focus my thoughts, this is what I'm sending out, this is what I'll receive, you know, from within, you know, comes without, above, so below. And so let me go ahead and use symbols to reenact certain things that I see in nature. And certain things, you know, so every symbol, every letter is a symbolism, is a re-simulation, so to speak, of something bigger. And, you know, this is when you start adding it up and you realize that everything from the words that you say, you know, the vibrations that you're sending forth. We talked about frequencies and vibrations on the last episode, and, you know, symbols and stuff. We can just talk about all of this. So when people, you know, in high areas and high places of government and of society, there's always some kind of occultic nature, you know, and they're all gathering and they're all doing some kind of rituals, and, you know, this stuff goes back. But where do they get these things? Don't just come from anywhere. What they're doing when they do these rituals is they're imitating nature. They're imitating the universe. They're imitating a story that goes as far back as the stars do, you know, with the creation stories and with gods and sky people and spirits. And, I mean, you know, so, you know, it might sound like fiction, but sometimes the truth really is stranger than fiction. And you better believe that cultures in the past, from the Aztecs to the Egyptians to the Dagons to the, you know, like you said, Bowies, or, you know, it doesn't really matter where they were placed within the world, they were all doing the same thing, in which, you know, they were all building pyramids and they were all doing out of sight stuff. Like, I mean, you know, we can get into the sacrifices and stuff like that they were doing, but of course, you know, that's a more negative aspect. But they were all doing this stuff, and maybe they were trying to retell a story, or recreate a story to work through some kind of social traumas, you know, that they believe to be the origins of mankind, you know, and the origins of the universe when they did these kind of things. There's always a reason for whatever the ritual was, and there's always something that's, there's always a bigger story that's trying to be told within a smaller story. No different than our Christmases and our Easter, you know, and our, hey, today's the 4th of July, you know. And we'll all shoot fireworks, and we'll all, you know, reiterate, you know, the bombs blasting in air and stuff like that. Of course, you know, it's the same sense. It's the same thing. And so you could shoot me and call me crazy, or, you know, you could go fire off some fireworks and you know, and be part of it in your own way, and you don't know it, you know, so.
Right. Well, and one thing that you said, and I wanted to kind of follow up on that, you talked about rituals. And it seems as though any time we start celebrating something, it becomes a ritual, like the celebration of July 4th. We have parades. We have people getting together. We have families getting together. We have fireworks. That is our ritual for the 4th of July. It started, I don't know, probably. The real ritual of the 4th of July started around about 1880, when we really started celebrating everything about 100 years after the actual signing of the Declaration of Independence. And we do, as a culture, create rituals around what we do. It makes us comfortable. We know what to expect. We know what's going to happen, and it's always going to be that way. When we created our newest federal holiday, which is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, well, what do? There, we have people get together, we give talks to celebrate Dr. King and what he did, and we have storytelling, and that's what we do. It's absolutely not like Memorial Day, which is more like cookouts and everything, but we think about our, you know, the fallen veterans, again, pretty much like we do on Veterans Day down in November. But we take what we've got, create
rituals, and a ritual can be very much, you know, a ritual is not just something you go to a church or a synagogue for. A ritual is something that you do over and over and has the same pattern.
Right. Yes. So, yes. It's the re-simulation and with these patterns and things that we're doing over and over and over again, you know, we're trying to, you know, it's like, you know, plowing a field and we're trying to plant these ideas. And when we do it over and over again, the same way that if I do something over and over again, well, then before long, I don't have to think about doing it. You know, it's like it's planted in my subconsciousness. It's there, and I can start multitasking. You know, it's because I've formed a pattern. I've formed a pattern through doing the same thing again and again, and we do the same thing. And you know, these storytellings and these rituals, you know, re-simulating, you know, an event that's happened prior. Or, you know, in order to tell these stories as happened prior. Yeah, it's just within our nature. It's within our nature, and when we talk about patterns and doing the same thing over and over again, man, that's in our nature from, you know, on a yearly basis, you know, to having holidays. It's in our nature from having a schedule from what we do when we come home each night, all the way down to, you know, look at our old cultures, you know, when they stand around and gather around a bonfire, or whether it's through meditation or through rituals and stuff, where they chant. They'll chant and they'll say the same. They'll use the same vibrations. Oh, the same vibrations again and again and again and again and again. And you know, this is part of what we enter into when we start looking into what we talked about on the pineal gland and the third eye. This is how to open it. You know, this is what they say is how to open it. You know, through the from saying the same thing, from chanting the same words over and over. It's just a repetition of vibrations, you know, and to the point that something pops, you know. And so this is all across the board, you know. And man, sometimes I think we do stuff we don't even know what we're doing. You know, it's like, but we're telling so many stories with some of the stuff that we do on these ritual events and stuff that, you know, we've all got calls for it. You know, it's always different. We've got all these different meanings for each holiday, and each culture will, you know, they'll each celebrate the holiday in a different way and call it something different. And it's something different in each of our cultures. But at the heart of each of those stories, you know, we actually have, you know, a much deeper story that is embedded within our subconsciousness. And, you know, just like I said, the answers are there. The answers are there for us if we were willing to, you know, step outside the box and go deep enough, you know. But the answers are always there for us within all things. I can, you could ask me, you say, you could ask me about a problem or a situation that arises and we're trying to find out a conclusion to it. And I don't necessarily have to use what you're giving me to come up with a conclusion. I can find how that relates to something else in nature. Because is that story, first thing I would like to do is ask myself, is that story told already? You know, does that story have a likeness within our nature? And if it does, and it could be all the way down to butterflies and bees, you know, it doesn't matter, or to flowers and pollen, or, you know. But when, you know, the old story of the bees and the birds, you know, but when, you know, we look into nature and we say, does this happen in nature? Yes, it does happen in nature. Well, then most likely this is the outcome. This is how we can deal with that, you know. But we always find that it's always okay. You know, there's really this whole fear-based thing where we're all so afraid, you know, and where they use fear to drive us around like a steering wheel in our back. You know, it's not needed. And, you know, worry itself is really the enemy of faith, whatever your faith is. And you know, so I think it's just time that we start being a little bit more free, open-minded. Don't worry, you know, don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear. And in the long run, you know, even people, they get into this whole end of days thing, end of days. And, you know, hey, at the end of days, the worst thing that could possibly happen is that we'll see the beginning again. You know, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's Omega O. You can't be the beginning and the end without two ends touching each other and it just recircling around. You know,
I got something I want to say about all these people that talk about the end of the days. Did you know that so far every one of them have been wrong?
Right. Well, it's the end of the world as they knew it, right? Which is
we're all still here. We're all Shane. I'm still in Myrtle Beach. I'm getting ready to go out on the boardwalk here at 4 o'clock. You're still over there in Alabama hanging out with your kids. I mean, I'm sorry, the end of days has not happened, and the people that want to pronounce that it's coming, what we don't do, you know. In fact, it's the news. It's like when the news wants to jump on the president, like Donald Trump, saying what he's doing is going to destroy everything. And then when it doesn't destroy everything, they all run for cover and they don't seem to want to talk about those stories. Well, neither do all these people that say that the world was coming to an end. They don't want to be held accountable for the fact that they just said something was grotesquely wrong. And I just think people need to have a little more responsibility about that. You're just saying, oh, I had a dream and the world's going to end tomorrow. Now, come on. You know, I'm glad you have dreams. I have dreams every night. Shane, do you have dreams every night and they don't come true? Yes or no?
Yes. Yeah.
And then
it's a way of deciphering that, you know. There's you know, so many people take things so literal and they think, well, and I'm not saying that these end of day stories or whatever it might be, you know, that, you know, they don't have a degree of truth if you looked at it from a different perspective, as all things do. But yeah, when we're looking at things, you know, Bob Marley said it best when he said, nuclear weapons can't stop time. You know, time is going to continue to move forward. We'll continue to move. Life will continue to move forward. It doesn't happen. Things can get real bad. I'm sure we're at the point within our, you know, evolution and within our society that we can cause things to get really bad if we don't have any better sense. But at the end of the day, man, like I said, the end of new age. Yeah, we have the end of one age, the beginning of a new age. But when we say the end of times, nah. We can't stop time, and I don't think it's gonna happen like that.
Right, and we keep making excuses for these people that give incorrect predictions. We don't hold them accountable. You know, that may be a very bad thing to say, but it's the truth. You know, you got to be held accountable.
Well, it's true.
The world's going to be ending, and people go sell all their assets and do whatever with them, and then it doesn't end. Well, you know what? I think the prophet's at fault because the prophet obviously didn't get the right message or created it themselves.
You know, for a different agenda, a fear-based agenda. And, well, that's kind of like me screaming fire because I want everybody to run out of their house. But there's even a law against screaming fire. You know, we can't just scream fire, you know, and something's going to, you know, it really get all the people worked up and stuff. But, you know.
Yo, where's the law about screaming end of time, end of earth, and it doesn't happen? Where's that law?
Right.
I'm not being a false advocate here. I'm just being real honest about the damage that these so-called prophets do to people. And, I mean, you know, when people like legitimate people like you and I are trying to help people, then you got all these folks out here, the Jim Jones and let's all drink arsenic-laced strawberry Kool-Aid. Come on, you know, that's the pure murder. And all these folks need to stop. They need to start looking within themselves. And also people, I think, need to be a little smarter about what they hear. They can't just blindly believe. They have to have some evidence. Otherwise, you know, if you want to talk about a prophet, Jesus gave us tons of evidence that he was the real thing. He turned water into wine. He created enough food to feed the masses. I mean, you know, if you want to talk about proof, Jesus gave us a lot of proof. But these so-called prophets that don't give you proof, you better watch out. And if it, and you know, and I'll close my portion, and then you can talk. But I'll say, you know what? If it's too good to be true, it is. Wake up! If it seems too good to be true, it really is. All right, back to you, buddy.
Hey, man. Hey, I get that. And yeah, I think definitely not everybody who claims they're a prophet is. Well, another rule of thumb is this, in my opinion, is that if you've chosen yourself, that's not how it works. The people choose you, you know, and it goes from there. But when you're when all you're doing is driving fear and you know destruction, or when you have some kind of you know other agenda that really goes with just you know I guess more like your ego, more or less, and trying to feed your ego. Yeah, there's definitely a problem with that. But what you said is people need to be smarter about what they you know believe and what they let in. Don't just believe anything. Definitely don't just believe anything. But also too, like I said before, you have to stay in gate of, you know, you have to stay in gate of your mind. You know, we really don't know, but we do know. We know it to be a science when it comes to subliminal, when it comes to stuff. That's why I said everything that goes into it is a seed. And if we don't stay in guard and you know, there's the old saying, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. You know. And if I don't see it and if I don't hear it, then I don't speak it, you know, and I won't see it, you know, so forth. So you know, we have to stay in guard of that and you know, make sure the same as if I had a field, like I said where I related to a garden. If I had a field and if I'm planting stuff in my field and if I'm trying to cultivate a garden, you know, I don't want you in it, and I don't want you just putting anything in my garden, planting anything in there, you know, because, you know, you could come through there and spread weeds all over the place.
That's right. And you know, better homes and gardens will get mad at them.
Right. You know, that's actually. Well, you know, that's actually in the book. Yeah, that's actually in the Book of Thomas. They asked Jesus, they said, well, what is heaven like? You know, what is, and he pretty much says, well, it's like if a man's got a garden and if he's planting, you know, he's planting wheat in his garden and, you know, getting it ready for a harvest, and here comes some vandals and they just go through there and they plant weeds all through my garden, you know, and then, you know, then at the end of the day, you know, of course, the farmer comes out. He scolds the young men and says, "Hey, you know, what you do to my garden?" And they say, "Well, hey, we'll fix it. We'll go out there and we'll pick all the weeds." And he says, "I don't trust you in my garden anymore. You know, we'll have to wait on it to harvest to find out what's true and what's not true."
I'm going to have to cut you off because we have ended our hour. What I wanted to do, I'd like to continue our double headers throughout the month of June, Scarecast with you. And how about if we see you next week? We'll post a scheduled time, and will you come back and join us and keep talking?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, look, thanks a lot. We got about 10 seconds, so I'll say everybody have a happy, safe 4th of July. Come down to the boardwalk, see Dr. John, Carolina Caricatures, send Shane an email. And we got 10 seconds, so happy 4th of July, Shane. We'll see you next week on Scarecast.
Happy 4th, John. All right, bye.